glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. I'm looking forward. I'm looking back. It's like I'm looking each and every direction. School has started. Things are happening.
It's an auspicious day. Isn't that like
auspicious? Ooh, I like that.
Isn't that like the equinox or something? Or is that later? Is that in September? Or when is that? It's June 21st. You don't know I'm talking about the spring equinox.
Sort of. Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a song, too.
There's the fall one. That's true.
Well, anyways, we're going to be
reading. Anyway, it's not August 21st.
Yes, we're going to be reading from Memories of an African Son, but I want to make a couple announcements. This Thursday, we have our English conversation class, and I forgot to mention this. I just was so delighted by this individual that sat in my class.
Yeah.
She started a business. And it's called I Can Pass Driving School LLC.
That's
so
great.
It's a limited liability
corporation.
Yeah, something like that. I Can Pass Driving School. And
everybody needs to.
Yeah, she's from China, and her husband, who is a visiting scholar, is here for a year or so.
Yeah.
He just said to her, hey, why don't you start doing that? Because so many of the international students don't have licenses or haven't learned to drive, especially like in China and some countries. They Uber it or mass transit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have the room for the cars and such.
Yeah.
And so they get here. She started this business, and she's very successful at it. I said, so during her 1 minute of sharing, I said, now what's the name of it? And so handed me, I Can Pass Driving School
LLC. That's a great name. That's so funny.
And so the student next to her said, yeah, I'm one of her students. She's my coach.
Oh, my.
I was like, wow. And there's another student is from India.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, could I have the information? And I might take your course. And I know others. I was like, wow.
That's funny.
So I just was very encouraged. She took the initiative.
Somebody needs to start that school up in Chicago, in my opinion.
not just for internationals, for just the Chicagoland native people.
Americans.
Oh, so that's great. But, yeah, we've launched into a continuation of our six-week series. So I guess we're halfway through, but I had a couple new teachers again, and new students are coming in at the U of I. So I think we had 6 or 8 or 10 new students.
Yeah.
So a lot of new name cards, and they were filling them out. And
I walked through. It looked like there were more
students. Yeah, and we had a couple of teachers. I think we usually have about 20 to 24 teachers each and every Thursday.
It's amazing.
So,
oh, such great volunteers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We couldn't do it without these great volunteers.
And so many of them look like they have a real heart for what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they really do. And they all get, like, coached or initially sit down
I've
with me and
that.
I try
this,
to I was helping Bill Erickson. Of course, he's been helping with beginners, but I wanted to bring him into an intermediate table.
Sure.
And so I'd give him like the whole spiel. But there was a lot of laughter, and it looked like they had a really good time. And he's launching with his wife Donna. It's IFI, I think it's International Friends Incorporated.
Mm.
It began in Ohio, and they have like 2,000 volunteers, 50 churches involved.
Doing what?
Reaching and ministering to the internationals, but the primary calling is to help churches be equipped to do that.
Oh, wow.
And so he's hoping, he and Donna, to educate the churches on how they can have a vibrant outreach to internationals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll do some training and workshops, and I'll probably have him on. He's in the midst of raising funds and raising awareness and working through how to work with existing churches and parachurch organizations and ministries on campus, and that's why I had lunch there with he and Donna the other day, learning what they're going to do and what they hope to do and how they're going to find a location to be a springboard into these ministries.
That's great.
Anyway, so.
Well, I was sitting at my computer just around the corner from his class as he was teaching, and I felt like the students were really responding to him quite well.
Yeah, he's a natural. He and Donna have ministered and reached out to internationals in their home for years.
Okay.
And he's a trained, not arborist. He's got his degree in architecture and landscaping.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, you know, really good.
Yeah.
And he's done that for years and years and years. I forget which companies he's worked for, but he could come into your house and recommend the trees and what to do and how to landscape and everything.
I should have him come.
Yeah, we got to get him over to our house.
Yeah.
But he finally, after all these years, has retired and feels called to do this full time. Mm-hmm. So he's in the process of raising awareness and raising funds. And I think it's ISI, International Students, Inc. Mm-hmm. And it began in Ohio or Ohio State, and they have a humongous outreach.
Wow.
That's great. I think they're in 11 or 12 states now. And he's going to be the director in Illinois, he and Donna.
Well, that's cool.
Anyways, we'll have him in. I don't know how he got on this tangent.
But another teacher that really has a wonderful group that is so energized around her is Bonnie Milliken.
Oh, yeah. And then Dave Crabio.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Crabio and then Sam. They work for ISI.
I think it's International Student Inc.
And that's on Outreach to Internationals, too.
Okay.
And Dave Crabio's held, he and Ruth, Bible studies on Friday nights in their home for like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
And so they're very intentional. And on Thursdays, he and Sam hold Bible studies. So some of our students go to their little table.
Okay, yeah.
And they're going through Luke or John. And so
that's great.
They had a banquet here.
Crabio's.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, Bill and Donna Erickson have volunteered and worked with Dave Crabio in their Friday night Bible studies and such for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been up to their neck in reaching internationals and ministering to them and befriending them and such. And then I was training last week, Todd. I can't think of his last name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But Todd works for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship International Students.
Oh, I saw him sitting there.
And so I was giving him the whole training.
Sure.
And so he's seeing if he can fit it into his schedule. So, yeah, that's happening this Thursday. But anyway, so we'll read a chapter or two, probably one chapter at this point.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I want to point out that, Lord willing, we'll have Jim Daly on the phone.
Woo-hoo.
Greta Henry will be in the studio, and we'll be interviewing him on his heart for the pro-life cause, why he's coming to town on Thursday, September 6th. Actually, Greta and the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center have asked him to come and present and be a part of their fundraising banquet. And so you'll hear about that fundraising banquet, how you can sign up, and what Jim Daly is going to have to say and share, and why he's passionate to carve out time out of his busy schedule to come to our area share.
So yeah.
That'll be tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So, yeah, we'll have Greta in. I've had Greta on, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Just does a great work, has a heart for those that are trying to determine what to do with the life that's growing in them,
mm-hmm.
and how to minister to them after they've given birth, and how to help raise up a network so that they can provide diapers and resources.
That's great.
Greta just has a unique way of loving on people, and then she has that opportunity of sharing Christ and, loving them towards eternity. So a very unique, gifted woman. Yeah, that'll be tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. But today, as is our practice on Tuesdays, to read excerpts or chapters, for that matter, from Memories of an African Son. And we have the author with us in the studio, Mary Ann Simkins, S-I-M-K-I-N-S. And these books can be purchased here at the Great News Radio Center, and even signed by Mary Ann if you come when she's here. And they're available for $15.
Yeah.
You can also purchase them online at Amazon and other highly respected distributors of good
iTunes, Barnes & Noble, different ones.
So Memories of an African Son. So today's chapter, it looks like we're going to be talking about villages.
That's
chapter
right.
12.
Okay. Shall I start?
Yes, please do.
Chapter 12, Villages. Most everyone for many long miles around our mission lived in villages. A few individuals living closer to town had small, square, one-room homes made of cement. But by far the majority lived in thatched roof huts with mud and cow dung floors.
Yes, you heard that right.
Cow
dung floors.
Yes. These floors were polished to shining beauty.
Oh, jeez.
You're having a hard time.
I just don't want to picture that right now.
Okay, you don't. The packed dirt area in and around the village was swept clear each and every morning. I'll just have to take a break and say the Africans thought Europeans were nutty crazy for planting flowers and plants around their homes.
Oh.
They attract bugs.
Oh.
They swept it clean. Any particle that might possibly attract an insect or snake was swept away until a clear, flat, dirt surface remained.
Hmm.
Those who had cement blockhouses also came out early with their brooms to sweep off the area in front of their home. There is something truly invigorating and pristine about that one action somehow, like a fresh start to the day, a new beginning. The first night I slept in a hut, I was shocked at how cool it was. I didn't know why it was so cool, but no doubt it had to do with the ingenuity that went into building the huts. Upon arising, I found a container of fresh, cool water already prepared for me by the friends I was visiting, to splash on my face and wash my hands in. I emerged from the hut that morning just in time to be blasted by the red-orange sun as it lifted from the horizon, and I realized again just how cool and comfortable that hut had been. The coolness was surprising, because the sunrise in progress was one of the largest I had ever witnessed, as that very hot orange globe rose over the Davuri River.
And that's kind of pictured in this book on the front cover with that elephant and that special tree. What's that called again?
Acacia tree.
Acacia tree, and then the big old orange sun rising up.
Yeah. I have so often run up against the misconception that people living in those villages were somehow backward, uncivilized, and not as smart as others. Nothing could be further from the truth. What is uncivilized, anyway? Is it a man screaming in uncontrollable rage at a nearby car in a traffic jam on the LA freeway? Or an irate customer yelling irrationally at the service provider behind a coffee counter? I found none of these sorts of behaviors in the villages near where we lived.
I see how you fit in coffee counter.
Oh, I know. I fit it in everywhere. Yeah, okay. The people we lived among were as intelligent and bright as anyone anywhere else on Earth. One thing that astounded me was their quick ability to pick up and learn languages foreign to their own. It seemed they did it in record speed. Their eagerness to learn was undeniable. Our friends from surrounding villages had a great deal of knowledge that we didn't have. We depended on them at times for understanding the way of the bush, and we had much to learn. I can still see that sudden laughter and broad smile as yet another of my mistakes in dealing with the world around me unfolded. There are numerous customs that pertain to village life, such as not entering a village unannounced, without making your presence known. I used to sit and watch the women in nearby villages pound out maize as they chatted away, and I watched as the cattle were herded back at night into the kraal, an enclosed structure near the village.
Oh, yeah, the old kraal.
Kraal. I think it's a Dutch word. I don't know what it is that makes people in some cultures assume that those in others are backward, simply because they have different blocks of knowledge to work with. The people we knew in the villages around us were just like us, only culturally different and with a different set of skills. Yes, we brought a lot of knowledge to them, helpful knowledge, they told us. But they were fully capable of learning what we knew, just as we also could learn some of what they understood. When one culture knows something that another doesn't, anywhere in this world, it doesn't mean the second culture is not intelligent. It means that knowledge in a particular area is lacking. It could be highly valuable knowledge that's lacking, but that is still the subject at hand, not intelligence. The colonialists severely damaged Africa and her people. There is no way to make that fact any different than it is. And one of the damaging things was their pervasive belief, which they carried back to the West, that African people were somehow not intelligent. It was an evil lie that they perpetrated for many years. The African villages of Zimbabwe that I lived among had some of the sharpest minds, brightest eyes, and kindest demeanors I've ever known. I'm not idealizing village life. Some of the people I knew were eager for a chance to change their circumstances. Some were hoping for one of the few new cement homes, or an education, or land ownership, or simply better times. Many were hoping real opportunity would knock. Everywhere we went in those days, we were warmly greeted by villagers walking on a path or sitting near their village. We were welcomed with a handshake, a smile, and a friendly greeting, and often by an interesting moment of conversation. I liked to sit on one of the smaller granite rocks by the dirt path near the village closest to us and wait for the headman from that village to come walking home, his three wives behind him.
The headman.
Yeah, I know. That is his name. Or his title. I was waiting for his third wife, walking behind everyone, a young girl of about 17, who had a grand, wide smile and beautiful face, and used to wave eagerly to me as I sat on the rock, watching the afternoon fade away. She was generally balancing an enormous basket on her head, her body swaying in astonishing posture underneath. I'm not sure why, but I think of her fairly often. She exuded a happy charm. She liked me, and I felt so blessed by her clear excitement at seeing me once again. Growing up in a village does not in any way equal backwardness or ignorance. What I saw in those villages was a people, like all other peoples. It is somehow distressing to hear of the guided tours that many tourists are taking through villages set up on the tourist routes nowadays so they can get the, quote, village experience. Villages are not stage shows. Africa is not a tourist performance. Villages are where people live. Whether a person lives in a high-rise in Hong Kong, a cardboard house in the slums of Rio, a farmhouse in Iowa, or a home on a Native American reservation, people are the same, with a wide assortment of different cultural thoughts and different trappings. They remain the same. They want love. They want respect. They want to learn. Many crave education. They want safety for their children and families. Most want to be self-sufficient and not dependent on others. They want a livelihood. They want to understand truth. These are the traits that run through the veins of the human race, no matter where people are located. Many of the people in the villages around me those 50 years ago were Christians. The Christians of Zimbabwe are my brothers and my sisters. We are equally God's children, and I am so blessed because of it. It was the Apostle Peter who proclaimed, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Acts 10:34-35. I believe that. Some days, when I'm paying the outrageous electric bill to run my central air conditioning, when I open windows to save money, only to have the water-laden Illinois humid heat barrel in on me, I think back to that morning at Dewarie, of emerging from my calm sleep in that cool, cool hut, while the African sun was blistering its way up into the sky, heat waves already shimmering in the air. And I kind of wonder how they did it. Probably some knowledge we don't have here yet. Father, help me to remember always that people everywhere want many of the same things that I do. They want safety for themselves and their children. They want a decent and productive way to make their living. They want provisions of food and shelter. They want to learn. They want respect. They want to hold on to the good cultural influences that have shaped them and that matter to them. Help each of us everywhere to hold on to the good and to let go of the wrong cultural influences, of wrong thinking, and to embrace your ways, the ways of God, which are goodness, righteousness, love, and peace.
And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Villages, chapter 12, Memories of an African Son. Very nice, well written, and
thank you, Mark.
I appreciate the thoughts and the points of conviction. I know how we can stereotype and label and
so
misrepresent,
easy.
And you know, we think, yeah, backwoods, or we use the word like native or ignorant,
yeah,
or uninformed, and yet, like you say, a different cultural experience or understanding of things. Yeah, maybe less information or different information. You know, they might have tons more information when it comes to plant life and how to survive and other things.
Yeah, you get in the jungle and you don't know your way around, you suddenly realize you need somebody with some information about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we stereotype all the time. We stereotype men, women, white people, black people, everything, Americans. We stereotype, and it's just sad.
Yeah. What's it when we do, like, some people, I don't know if it's with foreigners or where we talk louder. And it's
oh,
like,
I know. That's ridiculous.
Who do we do those to?
Sometimes when people don't know your language, everybody's like, do you? It's like, that's not going to help.
Yeah.
You're screaming at them now.
Yeah, we have kind of some of those bad habits or tendencies or
that's
whatever.
Easy.
But I do like the importance of uniting and bringing people together and working together and breaking down those barriers or those communication barriers because we've pre-labeled or stereotyped or whatever.
Yeah.
Village is Chapter 12, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. $15. I think you should come with about $65. Get 3, 4, 5 copies.
You're nice.
Come $100 and buy
you.
A number for your friends and family members. We can offer change, or if we don't have change, you can just make a donation to the station.
You know,
it'll all work out.
I knew it was
coming. Trust me, it'll all work out. So, all right. So, thank you, Marianne. We'll continue this with Chapter 13, Mission Boxes.
Oh, yeah.
What's the sneak preview for next week?
There's nothing quite like it. Opening up a box from America.
Okay. That'll be a teaser for next week at the same time during
Mark and
Friends. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. You're going to hear, Lord willing, if we can get him on the phone, Jim Daly from Focus on the Family. He's coming to town on Thursday, September 6th. He's been invited by Greta Henry and the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center as they're having their fundraising banquet. And so you can tune in and find out how you can attend that banquet. Holly and I can't wait to attend.
Yeah.
We've been to many of them. It's a great occasion to learn what's happening locally to save lives and to reach people with the good news message of Jesus. And Jim Daly will be the keynote speaker sharing that evening. There'll be testimonies. There'll be a great banquet of food. You're always fed really well, but there's always a good message. And then there's an opportunity for you to partner with Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center and be a part of their mission work, their outreach here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. So that'll be tomorrow during, Lord willing, during Mark and Friends. Greta will be here in the studio, and we'll be calling up Jim Daly. Hopefully he'll answer, and we'll talk about it. Otherwise, you'll hear from Greta, and she's always inspiring and brought to share.
I think it's so neat that he wants to support this.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He wants to come.
Yeah,
that's great.
It'll be great. So that's tomorrow during Mark and Friends. So if you miss a portion of today's broadcast or you can't tune in tomorrow, it will be archived, so you can listen anytime at Great News Radio. .org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.